Good morning, brothers and sisters. When I extend a Christian greeting to each one here this morning, I consider it a blessing to be here and to share from God's Word again. I want to wish each one of you here God's peace and love as we look into His Word. I must admit I had a struggle with deciding what to preach this morning. I had the privilege of being at Faith Builders here this past week and had my mind filled with a lot of good things. But I did decide to go ahead and have another message on prayer this morning. Want to have a little of a rerun of what we had 2 weeks ago, and then want to look a little more at length at the persistence, being persistent in our prayer life. And then after that, if we have time, we'll look into the part of fasting and what part that has in a Christian's life connected with our prayer life. I think all of us have a desire to have a better communication line open between us and God. I trust as we are on this journey towards God and on this journey towards maturing in our faith, I think we all desire a better prayer life. And I trust it's an intense desire to do that, to know more of what God has for us. And I think we need to say that our prayer life is something that, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, is something that we too easily can push back and not make it a priority in our life. But I think as we looked at 2 weeks ago, one thing that we looked at is to pray regularly, to pray consistently. I think we need to meet with God on a consistent basis. And we know that a person that is on a marathon, he does not get on that marathon and expects to win if he only runs an exercise when he feels like it. He does it even when he does not feel like it. He is practicing for this. And I have to think that as a Christian, to become a prayer warrior, I think we often need to pray when we don't feel like it, when we would rather be doing something else, but we need to pray. We need to keep that connection up with God, to meet with God on a very regular basis. And I think there's reasons that we don't at times. It could be indifference. It could be unbelief. It could be our busy schedule can take us away from feeling that need of connecting regularly with God. And I know too often for myself, I've experienced this, is when emergency comes up, when we feel the need of, we need to call out to God now. It's an emergency. God, help me. We have the time, or take the time to do it then. But what about the times that when things are going well, do we still keep that connection up with God? Sometimes we wait until we get a bad report from the family doctor, or a family crisis comes up. We experience death in our family. There's a number of reasons that we take as an emergency, and then we come to God. What did Daniel do? That's something I mentioned last 2 weeks ago. Daniel was one of the men that three times a day he came to God, regardless, I think, of what lay in the way. He was there meeting God three times a day. And even after Daniel learned of the decree that had been published, even then, he continued his connection with God. He got down on his knees, giving thanks to God, just as he'd done before. Very important to pray regularly and consistently. We need to make prayer our priority every morning, a goal for the day. Make it an appointment with God. Make that appointment more important than anything else. Even more important than some of the other appointments that we have that we schedule in our calendars. Before we make those appointments, did we have that appointment with God that morning? And I think we need to realize that the devil is busy. He will try to make something come up or allow something to come up in our way not to have that appointment with God. And I think we need to recognize that and recognize that the devil does not want us to keep that connection up. He wants us to lose that connection. So if he can get us to do that, that is, he has his foot in the door. Another thing that we looked at is briefly is pray honestly. I think we need to be honest with God when we pray. Nothing is hidden from God. I think we all could recognize that and would admit that all creation is open before him. Everything is uncovered and is laid bare in the eyes of him to whom we must give account. But God already knows. There is no use to try to cover up anything. We might as well come to him fully uncovered, everything open before him, bring it to him as we're feeling. Be honest with God. If we come to a situation that we don't understand, tell God that we don't understand the situation. Give me the wisdom. Give me the direction to know what you're telling me through this. Very crucial, I think, to be honest in our prayer life. In Exodus 5, in verse 20, we have a few verses there I want to read. May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his servants and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on his people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Here we see that Moses was coming right out to God and just being honest with how he felt. Another very crucial thing is to be praying honestly. Another thing that we spoke about is pray fervently. I think if we want to experience a satisfied prayer life, we need to pray fervently. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In the NIV, the word prayer is the word supplication. Supplication is used for the word prayer there, and it is used 17 times in the New Testament. And supplication means to pray with fervency or agony. It talks about in Psalm 18:6, the writer says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. It talks about crying out to God. We're fervent. In Hebrews 5:17, we notice the prayer how Jesus prayed, that with loud cries and tears, the one who could save him from death. And he was also heard because of his submission to his Father. When we pray, do we have a sense of fervency in our prayers? Do we cry out to God? Or is it just a mundane thing that we do? We don't really feel a sense of urgency. We don't really feel the sense of fervency to really cry out to him in our walk with him. Supplication, crying out to God. And I think as we cry out to God, as we come to him in supplication, I think we will see the enemy of our souls will not be able to stand before a God that we're crying out to. God is greater than our enemy, the one that we're facing. There was a missionary over in Korea that in 1980, and he was over there to preach the gospel. And one of the preaching opportunities that he had during that time, there was a college riot that came up, and there was a lot of bloodshed, and there were a lot of people killed during that riot, and all public meetings were put off, and the martial law was put in effect where it banned all gatherings of any kind with more than two or three people. And people had worked and planned for this for 3 years in advance for this meeting to happen. Yet, at this point, it seemed that it was not going to work because of the law that was put in place. It was a tremendous time of tension. This evangelist was in his hotel room. He was looking down on the streets and seeing all these people, seeing all the soldiers that were put in place after this riot broke out, and very disappointed that he wasn't able to minister to his Korean friends. About that time, one of the pastors came up to his room, and they were talking there, and this pastor told the evangelist that we need to pray about this. So they got on their knees and they prayed. The Korean pastor, the local pastor there, it seems the more he prayed, the more fervent he got, the more agonizing he got. And he was really getting fervent with his prayer. And this evangelist said he must have prayed for 10 to 15 minutes. And when he finished, he left. The next morning, the word came to the evangelist that the general had kept the law in effect, that there was not going to be any meeting that evening. And the pastor of the Korean church there had gone to see the general before the worship service and said, if by any chance that this gets changed, if you change your mind, please call me at this number so we can tell the people and have this meeting. At about 10:30 that morning, this pastor gets a phone call from the general. And he tells the pastor that we are going to let you meet tonight. You may meet at a certain place and have your service. They were the only group that was allowed to meet that evening. When he arrived that evening where the meeting was taking place, the place was packed. It was full. And this evangelist said it was the only time that he was in a church where they locked the doors to keep the people out. There were soldiers there actually watching and keeping guard to let nobody in at the time, during the time of this service. As the evangelist was saying, as he looked at this great sight, the people responding to Christ, after the verdict was put in place that they were not able to meet, and here God allowed this to happen, would that have made a difference in your faith? After the meeting, the evangelist and the Korean pastor got together, and they had another prayer session of thanks to God for what he allowed to take place. Praying fervently. I think if we pray fervently, God will hear us. Another thing that I think we need to remember as we pray is to pray constantly, which goes with the first one, that we pray regularly. We need to be constant. Be praying without ceasing. Be in close fellowship, so close fellowship with God that there is unbroken communication regardless of what we're doing. Regardless of what we're working, regardless of where we're going, we're talking and we're walking with Him all the time. There is no break in the pattern of our prayer life in our daily walk. When we wake up in the morning, we go to work, we have God right beside us, praying constantly. Even such a thing as answering the phone, are we in prayer before we pick that phone up and answer, that we can have a Christ-like spirit to the person on the other end? We want to talk a little bit about never giving up in our prayers. The importance of being persistent in our prayer life. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago briefly about how often should we be praying for a situation? When should we quit? I think we need to be persistent in not giving up, in praying for something that we feel have not been answered yet. However, we also want to keep in mind that God doesn't always answer in the way that we sometimes want Him to. Never giving up, being persistent. Does it mean that if I ask over and over again that I'm lacking faith in God, that He's not answering our prayers? If I thank Him and wait, does that mean I am not praying unceasingly? Or is it a combination of the two? Sometimes we know in our heart that the prayer request has not been answered, so we thank Him, or has been answered, so we thank Him, and sometimes we're led by the Holy Spirit to ask over and over again. How long should we pray for something? I think, in general, the answer, we should be praying for something until we see the answer has come, that God has answered our prayers, or sometimes the circumstances change, and we can cease praying or change our prayers in a different way, or when God changes the burden on your heart. And I think, as we think of the third one there, the burden on our hearts, I think sometimes it's hard to define that. And I think we all know what it is like to have a deep concern for others. God may give us a burden to pray for a church or an individual, or for a group of people, or for our work, our co-workers. They come in all shapes and sizes, though, those burdens do. And I think we need to be sensitive to those burdens and use them as incentives to prayer. I don't think we need to feel guilty when our prayers begin to change. God may be calling us to focus our prayers on in a new direction. But I think we should always be burdened, I think, to pray for our spouse, our loved ones, our children, and our immediate concerns. But when it goes beyond that inner circle, I think those can change and will change. So what about praying for the same thing over and over again? Is that a good thing or a sign of a lack of faith? I think by noting that many times we pray, when we pray, we simply don't know how God is going to be answering that prayer. That often happens when we pray for a loved one or someone that is suffering from something, a terminal illness, who is desperately sick. We generally don't know in advance if God intends to heal them quickly, or He intends to heal them slowly, or if He does not intend to heal at all. We can't see the mind of the Lord. But I often think of our prayer life. We have such narrow minds. We're looking through this, you say, this keyhole, and focusing on one tiny portion of a vast and ever-changing scene. And God sees this scene. He sees the whole picture. But because we only focus on a small part, we cannot see the bigger picture of how this situation we're praying for, how this plays out in the long-term range. And God sees that. Only God sees the whole landscape of life in our past, in our present, and in our future. It's like a puzzle. It has all these interlocking pieces that God can see. Another whole category of, as we think of prayer here and being persistent, is also for spiritual growth. We may ask God to grant wisdom, to grant strength, perseverance, discernment, courage, inner strength, deeper understanding, a new desire to serve Christ, a clear guidance or a peace in the midst of trials. They're all they're all biblical requests that we can make. And we may be sure that God will answer those prayers. If we're really fervent about that, God will answer them in his timing. But the how and when rests in the hands of the Lord. Let's be clear in all this that God is sovereign. As I mentioned, He sees the whole picture. And He is not held captive by our small sense of what we think He will do in the future. There are three key scriptures that we want to just very briefly look at here. In Ephesians 1:17, in the NIV, I keep asking that the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I keep asking. Look at that phrase. I keep asking. He keeps asking. Paul did not believe that if you made a prayer request that it could never be brought up again. Paul kept asking. When Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he prayed the same request over and over, that they would know God better. And in our prayers, I don't think we're praying to inform God of anything. He already knows what we're facing. He already knows what our prayer is going to be. So you may ask the question, well, if He knows, why pray at all? I think the answer is simple, that He's God and we're not. We don't see the whole picture. And God wants us to bring our requests to Him. We pray to express our total dependence on Him in every circumstances of our life. And as we continue to pray for the same things for our loved ones over and over again, I think it can cause our faith to strengthen. The godly desires of the heart grow stronger. And it's just a reminder to us that we are 100% dependent on Him. Just like Paul, we keep asking on behalf of our loved ones. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. In Matthew 6:8. We don't have to impress God or use words that we don't understand sometimes, or pray long prayers, and we just have to bring it to Him as it is. We don't have to repeat ourselves when we pray or be overly concerned that we get everything, all the details correct. Praying from the heart. The Bible tells us that He numbers the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore, and the hairs on our head. He even calls the stars by name in Psalm 147:4. Ponder that for a moment. The stars he names by name. Billions and billions of them. Think of how easily you get flustered. One day when we're trying to remember a person that we met the week earlier, and we can't even remember that person's name. Here, God knows each star by name. And He knows you, and He knows everyone. He knows all the people. He knows every person attending every church in the world today. More than that, He knows the names of all 6.5 billion people. In fact, 7 billion. As of October, statistic reads that there are 7 billion people in the world now. God knows each one by name. He's the God that we can call out to. It's not a strain for Him. And don't think that you're going to surprise Him by something that you find challenging in your life. He knows your thoughts before you think them, your words before you speak them. So just pour out your heart to God. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told His disciples a story about how they should keep on praying and never give up. The King James Version says that we should pray and not faint. Always pray and not faint. Persistent prayer honors God, and because it expresses our complete dependence on Him. Since God knows what we need before we ask, we don't have to repeat ourselves to get His attention. I think we all would recognize that if we would have all our prayers answered the first time we pray them, would that have a strengthening effect on our faith, or would it not? I think it would work. We will work on not strengthening our faith. But as we pray and as we continue praying, or persist in our prayers, and as we see God answering in His own timing, I know that our faith can be strengthened. Just this past week, I don't know how many of you got the message about Sister Geneva's billfold missing. She lost it in Mexico. And we got a email or a phone call, I'm not sure, saying that she lost it. Let's pray for the situation. She did find it. Was that an answer to prayer? Yes, I think it was. And I think if we're in a situation like that where we lose something that of that importance, all your important documents in there, your license, your credit cards, your whatever, it becomes very important to us. But thank the Lord, she was able to find it then. We have an account in Luke 18, 2 through 8, where there was this widow that was very persistent in coming to this judge. Let's just turn that just very briefly. Luke 18. Luke 18:2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I think thinking of women, widows back in that time, I think that's a difficult position. During that time, they were very often literally unprotected. Being widows, their husbands having passed on. Many became homeless and destitute after their husbands died. Often they were taken advantage of, including religious leaders who would, as we have that phrase, devour widows' houses in Mark 12:40, a sin that brought a furious denunciation from Jesus. In order to survive, a widow had to learn how to fend for herself in that society. And she couldn't count on anyone to come to her aid. She had to assume that others would quickly take advantage of her. How sad. But this is what we know about the widow in this story. She had an adversary. She couldn't solve her own problem. She was very persistent. She had a genuine need. And she did get what she wanted after she persistently asked for it. And a few things about the judge in this story is he did not fear God. He didn't respect man. He was unrighteous. He didn't care about the widow, and he was unwilling to help at first. And evidently the facts of the case didn't move him, and he had no desire to see justice done. To him, she was just another widow, another woman here. His only motive for helping her was utterly selfish. He only helped her because she was persistent. He wanted to get her out of the way, you may say. But she kept coming. She kept bothering him with her continual coming. He did not feel the pain or worry that she wasn't getting justice. He only gives her what she wants because she keeps on coming and bothering him with her request. I think as we think of the moral of the story here, what Jesus was get the lesson that Jesus intends, I think we need to understand two key points here in this passage. Too often, I think we are like this widow in need here. And our problems, they seem big to us. We need help with them. No matter what, it seems no matter what we do, things tend to get worse. And there are times when the whole world seems to come down crashing on us. And then we may go weeks or months and even years trying to think that we can solve this problem. You know, it only takes one phone call to really get us down on the ground, begging to God to help us. But one thing we can be thankful for, God was not like this unjust judge. The judge was an uncaring man who lacked all compassion for the widow. He granted her wish simply because she kept on coming. She was persistent in coming back to him. I think Jesus using an illustration like this, calling us to persistence in prayer by using an example of a man who is nothing like our Heavenly Father. I think that explains why Jesus maybe used this illustration. Persistence. Think what it does with my Father in heaven who cares for me as we come to him persistently over and over again. God is not like this unjust judge. He cares for all of us. He has compassion for each one of us. And then the question that he asks here in verse 8. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith in our congregation here? Shall he find faith in your family? Shall he find faith in your heart? What will the Son of Man find when he comes? Are we going to be persistent in keeping that connection open to him? What else could Jesus mean when he refers to the elect who cry out to God day and night? Sometimes God, to us, maybe sometimes God seems to be like the unjust judge. We often feel that we cry out to him and we cry out to him for our loved ones. But there seems no one seems to take notice. God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. I think even the most righteous person has experienced periods of times where God seems far away and uncaring. If that is the case, I don't think we need to pretend that it's not there. I think we need to be honest about that. But the real answer to that question is God like the unjust judge? Is no, he is not. So what are we going to do? Are we going to keep on praying if we don't get an answer? Will we give up or will we continue to pray? God is our Heavenly Father. He not only loves us, but he also knows what is best for each one of us. As I stated earlier, he looks at the big picture. He sees the big scene for you and I. And we only see a small portion of our life. Very small portion. If we believe that God is our Father, he is Almighty God who loves us without limit. He knows what is best for us. Then we will cry out to him day and night, believing that when he answers, it will come speedily, quickly, and just in the nick of time. And I'm sure you've all heard that quote, that saying that Jesus is never late, but he's always on time. I think persistence is important because, as I said earlier, it helps us to grow spiritually. It can increase our faith in God. God does not become more willing to answer because of our persistence, but we become more capable of receiving the answer to our prayers. Persistent prayer changes us. It purifies our motives. It forces us to confront our helplessness. It distinguishes deep-seated desires from those fleeting things. It makes us ready to receive God's answer. And it also humbles us so that God alone can get the glory. And I think ultimately that's what God wants from His people. As we come to Him, He wants to be glorified for what He does for us. And I was challenged with those aspects of having our motives purified. And as we think of our helplessness before Him, we're nothing. Totally dependent on God. Or do we think that we can work in these situations ourselves? I think as we come to Him, as we feel our helplessness, God will be able to work in our lives. If God answered every prayer the first time we prayed, our faith would become complacent. And we don't want to become complacent in our faith. We want to have a vibrant faith, a living faith. Because God conditions His answers on our persistence oftentimes, I think it just makes us realize how helpless we are and how totally dependent that we are on Him for everything. So how persistent are you going to be in praying? Is it for a family member to come to Christ? How persistent? Maybe it's a loved one that is dealing with a terminal illness. If God doesn't answer over a period of time, do we just stop praying? Or victory over a stubborn habit? Wisdom to make a big decision. We face a big decision and we don't know which way to go. And we need wisdom in this. Do we keep praying about it? A deeper walk with God. A growing love for our fellow man, for our brothers and sisters here, as well as for others outside in our communities. Having a love for our fellow man. Deliverance from a critical spirit. Grace to forgive those who have hurt you. Money to pay your bills. Relief from discouragement. The list could go on. How persistent are you? If we have a challenge in that, I think we need to come to God and ask for persistence. Ask for determination to keep praying for these situations. No, I don't think it means that we are lacking in faith. In fact, I think it will mean that more the other way. It can strengthen our faith as we keep on praying for situations that we've been praying for maybe for a whole year and we don't see any change. My encouragement to you is to keep praying until God gives the answer. Either God changes the circumstance or God removes the burden altogether. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I think I will leave the The fasting part, I think I'm going to leave for another message. This morning, I don't hope I repeated myself too much from 2 weeks ago, but I just felt the need in my own life to just be reminded again of how persistent we need to be in our prayer life, and to not give up in praying for something that we feel that has not been answered yet, but coming to Him, believing that He will answer in His own good timing. Let's stand for prayer. Our kind, eternal Father in heaven, we just now pause in your presence. We just want to thank you for blessing us today again. Thank you for this avenue of prayer that we have with you. We can keep that connection open. And it is our choice, Father, in how we prioritize this big thing of prayer. It is such a large field that too often we don't make it a priority, and we let other things get in the way. My prayer this morning, Father, would be that we can be prayer warriors for you, being persistent in our prayer life and in praying for things that we think have not been answered. And may we be persistent enough that we can pray until you answer in your own timing. Thank you for this opportunity that we have of staying connected to you. And I just pray that for each individual that is here this morning, Father, that we can have a very vibrant prayer life and in being persistent in doing that. Thank you for being our good shepherd and that we can call on you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.